The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Luganville, longtime regular. Haven't seen you in a while.
I know, right? I don't think we've ever been this close to each other in 2 years. I mean, what's going on here, man?
It's good to see. Haven't seen a lot of people in a while.
I know.
So,
it's kind of nice.
You're heading out to the Oregon State game, but I do want to get your thoughts. Just let's start with the playoff, and and especially this weekend. The biggest game of the country is Ohio State and Michigan. You've seen both of them throughout the season. Friends of mine are trying to make a case for Michigan. I'm not buying. What about you?
I do think it's the best iteration that Jim Harbaugh has put forth to have a chance as far as the team that he has. But still, until they prove otherwise, Michigan has got to prove that they can play well in highly anticipated games versus top 10 ranked opponents, where the expectation is to win, to get over the hump for whatever reason. And I don't know if it's a Jim Harbaugh thing. I don't know if it's a staff thing, if it's a locker room thing. But whenever they're in a game like that, they fail to meet the standard. So you have that they've got to prove. And on top of it, athletically, I just don't know if it's a good matchup for Michigan. I love what Michigan brings on defense. They can rush the passer. They can be very, very disruptive. But those skill guys at Ohio State and that team, I saw them on ABC Prime at night against Indiana. And Indiana was not playing very well, but it didn't matter. When you just looked at Ohio State, they were different. You're sitting there in pregame warm-up, and you're looking at that team, and you're looking at the other team, and you're saying, this is going to be a no contest.
They've moved up to number two, and I know everybody's trying to do compare and contrast. We saw them against Alabama at the end of this season. How would you compare Ohio State and Georgia?
Very similarly in terms of how they have continued to improve and progress throughout the year. And I think that the College Football Playoff Committee values week-to-week improvement. You know, if you look back at that 2014 season, you had Ohio State losing week two at home to a very average Virginia Tech team. That team ended up winning the national championship in Ohio State as they continued to improve. Committee got past that, looked at the team. Are they this team now? And I think that Ohio State's done as good a job of that since the Oregon loss as anybody in college football. Athletically, it's probably the best matchup that I think we've maybe had in the college football playoff era, outside of maybe that Rose Bowl between Oklahoma and Georgia, as far as the caliber of player, what they bring to the table, how each one creates a challenge for the other. And, you know, I think the thing that's neat about all this, Paul, is we have playoff games this weekend. I mean, Ohio State and Michigan, that's a playoff caliber game. Alabama and Georgia, when we get there, that's going to be a playoff caliber game. So we're having those types of games before we even get to the playoff, which is what everybody who loves college football wants to see in November.
About Georgia, and they will have had 2 weeks off. I don't know. Does that affect your momentum, or do you just store whatever you need for the Alabama game?
Well, I would like to think that Kirby Smart and his staff and his players are looking to get better with each play, with each series, with each snap, regardless of who the opponent is. But you and I were talking off air, and you've got Charleston Southern and a reeling Georgia Tech team, and you're looking over here at Auburn's getting in a dogfight, or Alabama's getting in a dogfight with Arkansas,
right,
and now has to go and play on one of the most difficult places in college football. So one might be slightly more battle-tested coming into the SEC championship game. But I think Georgia will rise to the occasion. They have all year long. Now, we can make the argument that who's challenged them? Who has put a football team on the field that could say, hey, Georgia, you have to score 35 points to win the game, not just to get ahead. You're going to have to score at least 35 to win the game, and maybe Alabama's that offense.
Yeah, I mean, they were challenged by Florida for 1.5 quarters,
right,
by Tennessee for a quarter, and That's about it.
And I think we would all agree that Alabama's got superior personnel, at least right now, to both of those teams. And listen, Alabama's got some flaws. This isn't the team that we've become accustomed to seeing in the offensive line. They haven't been able to run the football to the level of which we've always come to expect. But they've got a quarterback that kind of becomes the ultimate neutralizer, right? When things aren't perfect, he can pull a rabbit out of a hat. They have realized where their strengths are and have utilized those strengths. And that is to throw it, run it when we can. But our skill on the perimeter, our quarterback, gives us a chance each and every week. And you're going to have to score points against Alabama to beat them.
How do we know how good Stetson Bennett is?
I would answer that question by saying I know he's vastly improved, because if you go back to the first, 4 to 5 weeks of the season a year ago, that's not the same Stetson Bennett we've seen this year. He was lost. He looked like he had no control of the offense, looked like he didn't belong. He looked like a walk-on. All right. Now I feel like he looks like a guy. I'm not saying that you're going to win because of him, but you're not winning in spite of him either. I think he would be what I would call a serviceable, functional player at the position that knows what he is and what he isn't. But again, what happens if somehow they get into a type of game? And I'm not saying that they're capable of getting this type of game because of how outstanding they are on defense. But if they got into a track meet and it turned into a tit-for-tat affair, could they say, okay, Stetson Bennett, you got to go out and throw the ball 45 times a game and win it for us? I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question.
Talking to Tom Luginbill, there's a lot happening this weekend. We mentioned Ohio State. The Iron Bowl, Auburn, is a team that is spiraling. What happened to them?
You know, I feel like the Texas A&M game broke them. You know, that game occurred, and for whatever reason, they have not recovered from that outing. And I think they got caught up in the Mississippi State game, defensively playing way too much man-to-man defense. They played right into the hands of Mike Leach, what he wants you to be in. And so they gave him a lot of one-on-one opportunities, and Will Rogers picked him apart. This team, to me, going into this matchup, even though you're at home, you've got a backup quarterback that I think has got physical ability, but he's highly streaky, which to me means there's likely going to be some turnovers coming from the quarterback position for Auburn. They're going to have to avoid catastrophic errors. And I've said this to you many times before, and I believe it's true for Georgia as well. If you're going to beat Alabama, can you score 40 points? And will Alabama do something to help you? Will they do something uncharacteristic of their nature? You know, a pick six, a punt return, for something they don't do to help you keep momentum, and then you got to play your best game.
Talking to Tom Luginbill, we're 3 weeks away, maybe a little bit longer, from National Signing Day. And it seemed like that helped undo Dan Mullen at Florida.
Right.
First of all, why was he unable to recruit he was recruiting okay, but
sure,
not at the highest level.
He was recruiting well. My question is, what was the level of devotion on a day-to-day basis? Not that he can't recruit. Obviously, he can evaluate players. I mean, when you're at a place like Mississippi State and you don't just readily have those 4- and 5-star guys standing around, you have to evaluate and you have to scrutinize. And the guys you're bringing in, you have to develop. Maybe no coach in the last 20 years did as good a job doing that as he did at Mississippi State. But I think when you're at a place like Florida where you do have access to the 4- and 5-star and the high-profile guy, and you can sit in your office and throw a rock out of it in any direction and hit a great player, to me, that leads me to believe, how hard were they working at it? You know, I'm not saying that they weren't recruiting. I do believe his statement damned him, you know, when he mentioned we'll recruit when it's recruiting season. Well, every second of every day is recruiting season. And when you have somebody like Kirby Smart that looks at it that way, Nick Saban obviously looks at it that way, various other competitors that Florida has, at the end of the day, my question would be, did he just flat out get outworked when it comes to recruiting? That would be the biggest question. And if you're Scott Strickland, you've asked yourself that question. And I think also, if you're Scott Strickland, you're talking about a guy that just came off of an SEC title game, has won a lot of football games as a head coach. The proof's been in the pudding. But you know what? If your bosses think you've lost the football team and it's irretrievable, he's left with no choice but to make a move.
How does Florida get back in the game, and what type of coach do they need?
I think they need a grinder in recruiting. I mean, and when I say a grinder, I'm talking about somebody that if they get hired, the people around them are going, oh, here we go. Now we're really going to have to get after it, you know. And to me, you're going to be stepping into a situation where you've got a brand-new football operations facility that's on the horizon, which is probably 10 years overdue. You finally have the indoor facility. That's only been in the last few years, all right? So they've been playing behind on the arms race and probably living a little bit more on being the University of Florida Gators than they've needed to. So whoever steps in there, I think, is going to have some resources at their disposal, coupled with hopefully what will be just a relentless work ethic. If that's me, I would be looking in the Pacific Northwest at Mario Cristobal, because I would back the truck up and I would look at his process, his ability to evaluate, his ability to use resources, and the fact that it is a 24/7 gig for him, not just on X's and O's, but on player evaluation. And that's, I think, where it begins and ends at Florida.
He is mentioned for a lot of jobs.
Sure.
You're doing the game. So
yeah.
Is he likely to leave, though?
Listen, he's got such a great situation. You know, he's got resources there that most people don't have. He's in a conference right now where, you know, it used to be in the old days, if there's a great player on the West Coast, that kid's going to SC and everybody else is playing second, third, and fourth. That's no longer the case. When a Kayvon Thibodeau decides that he's going to go to Oregon and not go to SC, all right, when you can cast a wide net at Oregon and get into just about everybody else's backyard and have success recruiting, and you are at the forefront of your conference, I think if you are Mario Cristobal and there are a variety of jobs out there, you need to start weighing those pros and cons and starting to figure out, it's not necessarily as a grass greener type situation, is there better opportunities for myself here to get to where we want to get as opposed to another location? And then, of course, we know Oregon's got money, and they've got money to spend.
What does LSU need?
I think LSU needs a leader that is not only a recruiter, but an offensive-minded head coach. Listen, I say that, and I happen to personally believe that Dave Aranda is probably the perfect guy for the job. All right? That job to me is a top three job in all of college football. You have no in-state Power 5 competitor. You border on states that have great players, all right? There are great players in your own state. So in some years, you may not have to leave the state. It's an allegiance state, so the kids come up and they want to be an LSU Tiger, so you're not battling that. To me, there are so many resources at play there. And I think Woodward's doing a nice job by playing things close to the vest, but not getting into the whole search committee thing, doing his own homework. He's going to be responsible for this,
sure,
not some search committee. And so I think there are great candidates available for that job, and whoever gets that job is going to realize that there's a special opportunity. Now, one thing we all know, Paul, what we saw with Mel Tucker, what we just saw with James Franklin, the prices of doing business are going up. And so, you know, whether you're a Florida, you know, whoever it may be that's got a job opening, the money's getting up there.
You've described Jimbo Fisher, but you know his name continues to be linked to that job despite what he said the other day.
I know it's crazy, and I think sometimes when there's a previous relationship, obviously, and not only do you have a previous relationship with the person that's making the decision, but you've been an assistant coach on a national championship
sure.
team. You understand the internal dynamics. You know that state inside out. There are so many variables that you look at, and you just, you know, you put your fingers together, it just marries, right? But at the same time, at the current place that he is at right now, the statements he's made are not only, I believe, to be true, but they're really factual. I mean,
so describe A&M's recruiting at the
moment. Yeah, when he talks recruiting and he talks the caliber of player that they're bringing in and the caliber of player they've brought in each of the last two classes. Now you're talking about having every available resource, maybe in some ways more than, let's just say, an LSU currently has. All right. You already are probably building and have a better top-to-bottom roster than they do. So what's the upside over there?
Right.
Where's that shiny little pebble that is the big difference in the decision? And, you know, listen, to me, with the state of the conferences being in flux, you've got Texas, you've got Oklahoma, and they're, you know, they're going to be coming into this conference, and now all of a sudden you know, the way I look at it, I just think that he might be the one guy of all the people that are mentioned around that LSU thing that has the better job.
That's interesting. Well, I know you got a long flight ahead. We'll let you get down to the bus station and start trailblazing across the country.
I was thinking about walking. Do a little Forrest Gump.
Huh? Not a bad idea.
All right.
I think Lewis and Clark tried that.
Yeah, that's right.
Great to have you on. Tom Lugan, but what an incredible conversation. We will take a break. More phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and it's great to have all of you with us here on a Thanksgiving Eve. Jason is up next. Jason, you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Feinbaum, for taking my call. And I have to say, this is a tough call to make because it strikes me as a Michigan hater. To state that Harbaugh is incapable of winning that Ohio State game, and I couldn't speak nothing but further from the truth. I think this is the year that we finally do it.
Well, let's see. He's had – what's his record against Ohio State, Jason?
0-4. I'm well aware of that.
Okay. I hope you're right. And then I don't ever have to mention Jim Harbaugh's name again.
Thank you. It's fine, Mom. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. I mean, I don't know why people in Michigan think that I really enjoy talking about Jim Harbaugh. I'm always asked these questions. I don't. Larry, do I walk into your house talking about Jim Harbaugh or something else? Good afternoon. Well, Larry from Shelby.
Hey, man, yeah, you wouldn't walk in my house talking about him. That'd be a short visit.
It would.
Oh, yes, sir. Don't hit the, let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, Jack. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Paul, I'm disappointed in this whole situation.
Which one is that?
I'm going to say Roll Tide because you're probably going to cut me off. But anyway, I want to say something. G-Mac, I'm not even calling that. I'm just calling quarterback guy, loser. He come on Monday, Paul, and you'd have thought this is a Big Ten network. I mean, and then he got on there and he said, I love Georgia. Really? Man, and I can understand what you're going to say. Well, he works for ESPN. That's all fine. But he's alumni of University of Alabama. And he could show some damn respect. I tried to scrub his name off my damn hat, and I can't find nothing to get it off.
Well, Larry, give me some context, because I didn't see the show, obviously. All he did was praise Georgia.
Well, I know. You should have fired him.
Should have fired him?
The point. Okay. The point being,
why should we have fired him because he said something nice about Georgia?
No, he spent a whole segment on Ohio State, Paul Feinbaum. And Ohio State, really? Come on, man. I mean, we're getting down to the same thing
Larry, I don't know if you caught this yesterday, but Ohio State jumped your Bama boys as the number two team in the country.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't care what they jump. They can jump up a hog's ass for all I care. We don't care as long as we in that top four or something. We'll deliver one of them beatdowns they'll remember, just like what they usually do when they sneak in there. Just like a Notre Dame smart, probably paid GMAC to mention Notre Dame number four. Really? And I don't know. When you look at Tulsa and Navy, Cincinnati, Navy, 27-20, really? Oh, Cincinnati's a powerhouse.
Larry, why are you so consumed with all these other teams? Why don't you worry about your own team?
Well, because I just get sick of seeing us getting
Larry, hold on a second. I think you're getting a little anxiety here because you know what may be coming.
Hey, let me tell you something. Michigan State shouldn't have been sick. They got lambasted. You couldn't find a receipt. Look, man, if you've been looking for a cab, you would be better off than looking for a damn defender on some of them receivers. L.A. was 5-10 yards. They look like just throwing pitch and catch. No, it's just these Yankees always get the mooching, ass-kicking, ass-kissing. Get up there every time, every year, about this time, y'all put them up there like Michigan number 6. No way, Jose. No way. And just like Cincinnati beat Navy 27-20. Give me a break.
Larry, how confident are you today that Alabama will win against Auburn and against Georgia?
We're listening to this. You think we don't hear this from players down about, oh, I love Georgia. Go ahead and love them, baby. Maybe you can get some Bengay to rub on their shoulder after we snatch it out of joint. No, we're going to whoop that ass, what we're going to do, both of them. And we're going to roll some Tide on that ass. How about that, Fine Bomb?
Well, Larry, you know what those sound like? Those sound like hollow words to me.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, just like when you put Oregon number 3. What happened to that last Friday when that Yankee Doodle Dandy was, Alabama got pushed up to number 2. And look what happened to Oregon. Really? That's who y'all picked in the top 4. You're an Oregon guy. He was bagging on Oregon. Yeah, he was. Go ahead. You there?
I'm not really sure if I am, Larry.
Well, you was bragging on Oregon. Remember last Friday, the phone call? I'm remembering this crap. I'm starting to get back into this stuff, brother. I'm watching. You got a man right here who knows some stuff about football. I ain't like our man who
if you know so much, can you tell me why your team let Arkansas back in the game Saturday and they had a chance with an onside kick to maybe win?
Let me tell you something. We got the water boy. We got the water boys, the running back. Hell yeah, but we got a lot of grit, man. Our defense is playing lights out, Jack. We was tough. We'll see. You go ahead and smooch up to old Georgia with, what's his name, G-Mac. You know, he said, I love Georgia. That's just the way he said it. I could have bit a 10-penny nail into. I love Georgia.
Larry, I mean, are you so insecure about your team that you can't handle somebody saying something nice about somebody else?
He's a Bama player, man.
Larry, you're wrong. He may have gone to Alabama, but this may come as a big surprise to you. But he is a professional broadcaster, meaning.
Let me tell you, I saw him in Atlanta when he signed my hat. His nose was so damn far up in the air, if it had rained, he'd have drowned. I mean, that guy's so stuck up. He is just an a-hole. Number one, I wish I could meet him again. I'd tell him too.
Well, Larry, if he was so stuck up and such an a-hole, why did you want his autograph?
Well, at first I thought it was just maybe the way everything's going around there when we was hanging out with y'all. And then I got to watching him. No, he was just stuck up. I don't even wear the hat no more.
Now, Larry, you know me pretty well. We've been together quite a few times. Have I ever acted like that around you?
No. You're okay, Paul.
Okay.
I mean, you're a good – listen, you're in the middle, brother. It ain't my fault. You're the one that getting paid big dollars to put up with this, not me.
I'm pretty sure that my bosses would be more than happy to have you come in here and do my job. I can do whatever you do.
You'd have fun.
Probably right.
Drinking Bud Light and criticizing you.
Hey, I was in the store the other day, Larry, and I saw something I had never seen before. A 25-ounce Bud Light. Is that was I seeing that correctly?
Really? Oh, how much?
25 ounces? Is it? Or did I read that wrong?
Man, I gotta find me one of them. Shoot, that'd be kicking.
What's a tall boy? How many ounces does that have?
I don't know. It's pretty good. I know 12, 16, probably 20. They make a 25-ounce really though, great big one. But I can't get it in your
right
cup holder.
I'm trying to do something to keep me through this conversation.
Well, don't get me off track, Paul Feinbaum. Bud Light won't get me off track from G-Mac. No, and you.
Well, Larry,
you need to get this show straightened out, Paul.
It's 4:30 in Shelby County on Thanksgiving Eve. How many beers have you had today?
I ain't had that many. I'm about 7 or 8 because I'm cutting back, man. I mean, but I'll drink 12 back.
30.
I'm all right.
It is 4:30 in Birmingham, and you've only had 7 or 8 beers. Now, we're talking about 12-ounce beers. Is that right?
Yeah, 12-ounce. Well, I had 4 tall boys last night.
So let me think. 7 times 12.
It's 14. 84.
You have had 84 ounces of beer today, and it's only 4:30?
Yeah, that ain't nothing. You come down around these rednecks, brother. I got one named Jake the Snake, boy. He'd drink me on the table, boy.
Now, Larry, when do you normally put a lid on the beers? What time?
Oh, I don't know. According to how mad I get, like right now. You know, I get so PO'd, I just have to listen to the rest of the show, and I don't know. I don't know, about 11, 12, 1.
Hey, can I coach you on that, Mark? Hey, Larry.
What is QBAT?
Smirk just said, when I said he said the old man is slipping.
Yeah, we've been through that. And I told you to fire him, Paul. You don't listen to me. He ain't worth it. He ain't worth the money you paying that boy. I mean, seriously. He is not worth it.
So you think we just ought to eliminate Kubiak right now? Listen, Larry, I hate to do this, but Kubiak's telling me we have to go to a commercial.
Cut me off.
Hey, thanks, Larry. You have a happy Thanksgiving, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back as we continue here on Thanksgiving Eve. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Tony is up next in Lookout Mountain. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Paul, how's it going, buddy?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, man, I was on last night, didn't get a chance. I kind of hung up there after I heard about Cecil. I'm sorry. Sorry for you. I know that had to affect you in a big-time kind of way.
Thank you very much.
He's a good dude.
Saying that.
Hey, Paul, I'll make it quick. I'm just going to ask you something here. You know, timing is everything. The Ducks get blown out Saturday night. Dan Mullen gets fired on Sunday. And Tessitore, excuse me, he kind of said what I was going to call about. I was going to say what you thought about Mario Cristobal possibly taking the Florida job. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't think it's impossible. To me, unless maybe losing to Utah affected him in a way that I couldn't predict, I just don't sense that he is eager to leave. You know, there's another job that is not there yet. That's the possible Miami job, which is his alma mater. I know he probably could get the USC job, although I don't know why he would want that job. So you don't know. I mean, Florida is a big time school. It's an attractive position, especially coming in now where things are not at the highest level. But I would be a little surprised if he took it. But I don't know what. I think another thing is that he will likely be playing in the the Pac-12 championship game, which could slow down that process.
Right. He's a. I'm an Alabama fan. I don't particularly, have a liking for Florida when it comes to football. Just as talking about football, but I do know that he is an outstanding recruiter, and I do know that he would work very hard at it. I think he's a good football coach, and Larry. I mean, not all Alabama fans, Paul, are per se is what some of were always perceived as. Let me say that. I see this Georgia game. I see Alabama having problems with Georgia. I'm an Alabama fan, and trust me, the region I live in, it's not easy pulling for the Tide up here. And I'll hang up, Paul, and let somebody else get in there. But I see us really having problems with Georgia. I'm just going to be honest with you. But I love your show.
Thank you, Tony.
And
thank you very much for calling. You be well. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike. Thank you for the call.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing well.
I just wanted to let you know here in Jacksonville, Alabama, we have a coaching vacancy also, our Jacksonville State Gamecocks. We'd take Mullins or Coach O or anybody for name recognition and help us out in recruiting.
Well, you know what, Mike, I've heard, I don't want to say too much, but I've heard some pretty big names linked to that job. I think that is an attractive job with what.
Yeah, we did beat Florida State this year.
Yeah, is Jacksonville going into Conference USA, is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct. We sure are.
So I think you're going to end up with a really good coach. I don't think it will be Mullen or Ogeron, but
I'm just saying name recognition to help us in our recruiting efforts.
Yeah, I think you'll get a great coach.
Well, thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I know a lot of friends of mine who are, obviously they're friends of mine. I know them. But they are really proud of that program in Jacksonville. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Ballard, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Ballard.
Hey, Red, what's going on?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Paul, I've got a problem after that one caller. I had to get some standbacks.
I don't blame you.
And I really got off track what I wanted to talk about. I feel like the mosquito that flew over into the nudist colony. I don't know where to start.
I like that.
So I go back to when Bear Bryant was coaching Kentucky, and he never beat Bob Nealon.
Right.
And did you know that what happened to the triple threat? The tailback was Hank Claricella.
Right.
Hurry and Hank, do you remember him?
Well, I certainly know who you're talking about, yes.
Yeah, him and Andy Kozar and Burt Retchershire was the wingback.
Yeah,
and he was a place kicker.
Andy Kozar was an administrator. I got to meet him a couple of times. He was an amazing guy.
Oh, really? Well, he was he was the fullback on one of those teams,
right.
And of course Doug Atkins was
one of the all-timers.
I met him one time with Bill Spivey. They used to have these little runabout things they had
right
after the season was over, and it was standing by a locker, one of those 6-foot lockers. He throwed that big arm up on that locker. I didn't even come up to the handle. But they were the biggest people I've ever seen in my life. And Bill Spivey was just, and of course we know what Doug Atkins did.
He's one of the greatest
players. He played for Cleveland a little bit, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Kentucky had a guy named Bob Game. And that was when Tom Seiler was working for the New Sentinel.
I'm glad you mentioned Tom Seiler was a hero of mine. He helped me. He tried to help me get a job out of college, and he got me an interview, which was pretty remarkable with my credentials. Hey, I hate to run. We are literally up against a break here, but we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Joe is up next. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, brother?
Very well.
Well, I would like to, first off and foremost, I'd like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Because, you know, you may want to just hang up on me, you know, later when I get done saying what I got to say. Or you may agree with me. You know, I don't know. For one thing, I am not, which I know the polls don't matter now, but, you know, but they're just, the only reason they put Ohio State in front of Alabama because they're trying to get their quarterback, the Heisman, instead of Bryce Young. I mean, I know what they're doing. And it's just, you know, Alabama fatigue. I mean, everybody just, you know, they hate us now. Which, I mean, I guess if you want me a bunch of years, I probably wouldn't like you either. But hey, that's what it is. But I'm not going to bypass the Auburn game to talk about Georgia because, for one thing, Georgia, they're not going to be able to score no points on us. So we got a good chance at winning that game. And I want to talk about the Iron Bowl. And I want to ask your opinion on this. Why do you think that Bo Nix made the statement he made about Alabama gets the calls? I mean – when we're definitely penalized more than they are in every game. And what do you think he come out with this for? Is he just high or drinking or just,
you know, I really,
you know,
I quite frankly don't have any earthly idea.
Well, I mean, maybe he just knows he's not going to be on the field so he can say what he wants to. But in my opinion, he's trying to talk the referees and giving Auburn a favor this weekend is what I believe.
I thought Charles Barkley had the best line on that. He said, if you're not playing in the game, shut up. Be quiet.
Right, right. But I think the statement was mainly for the referees. Like, now, y'all don't penalize us. Y'all need to penalize Alabama. And, you know, they're gasping for help, Paul. I mean, because Alabama, you know, it's probably going to be the biggest blowout Alabama's beat Auburn at Auburn ever, you know, in which I know we ain't played down there a lot, but, I mean, we've won, but they've been close games. And I just don't see this game being close this week. I mean, I don't. And but, you know, hey, I heard a caller earlier. I think he was from Lookout Mountain or something other, saying he's worried about Georgia. I'm not worried about Georgia because I don't think – you know, they're going to be able to score that much. Bama's going to be in that game. And I'm not worried about the polls because, like I said, I just think they're just trying to build the Ohio State quarterback up to the Heisman, which that's good. I mean, Bryce Young will be back next year and win. But anyway, that's my take, Paul. But anyway, I want to wish you especially, you know, happy Thanksgiving. And I do want to say prayers for, you know, the friends and family of Cecil Hurts. Because he was, as you know, especially for Alabama fans, he was loved more than beyond just Alabama fans. I mean, he's been in the business for years, and I mean, he's going to be missed. I mean, he is. He's irreplaceable, like you are, Paul. I mean, you're irreplaceable. I mean, so I just want to throw that out there and wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And are you going to be on the air Friday?
Yes, Joe, we will be on the air live from Auburn. I know you'll enjoy that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Brian is in Dallas. Hello, Brian. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to everybody out there. I've got a hypothetical question for you, given your vast experience in traveling around to different schools. We've been hearing the different sportscasters and callers' opinions about the various coaching opportunities and openings. So if somebody, hypothetically, if all of a sudden you're a coaching candidate and you're the top coaching get for these schools, where does Paul Feinbaugh want to go coach?
Brian, of the three openings that are the most attractive, I tend to lean a little bit toward LSU. I'm trying to think as a coach. If it's a matter of warm weather, I'd take Southern Cal, but that's not what I'm looking for here. I think if you had offers from all three, the smartest pick is LSU, and I know it's easy to say, well, they wouldn't, the last three coaches have won national championships, but I think that's the easiest school. And I know I'm well aware who is at Alabama, but two of those national championships have been won there in the Saban era, even though one was his first year, and Saban won one of those national championships. I think Florida is extremely difficult. I think it will be easier now that their facilities are catching up with everyone else. I'm not crazy about Southern Cal just because in the last 40 years, you really only had one really successful coach there in Pete Carroll. John Robinson had some success there, but Pete Carroll has really been the only one that's been able to get it done. Thank you for the call. We have a long way to go here on a Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.